Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Every great story has a sequel. And that sequel jumps right into the action. The sequel assumes that you have read the first book, that you know the characters and the plot, and it picks up where the first book left off. Consider the opening of the famous sequel. You do not know about me without you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. But that ain't no matter. That book was made by Mr. Mark Twain, and he told the truth, mainly. There was things which he stretched, but mainly he told the truth. That is nothing. I've never seen anybody but lied one time or another. We thought it was Aunt Polly or the widow or maybe Mary. Aunt Polly, Tom's Aunt Polly she is, and Mary and the widow Douglas is all told about in that book, which is mostly a true book with some stretches, as I said before. Today, we find ourselves at the end of one story and the beginning of another. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given the commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Just like the adventures of Huckleberry Finn, you cannot begin to understand the book of Acts without first having read the Gospel of Luke. In it, Luke describes the details of the life of Jesus, from his incarnation and birth, throughout his ministry, including his sufferings, death, and resurrection, and up unto the ascension into heaven. At the end of Luke's gospel, we see Christ ascend into heaven after opening the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures, giving them the promise of the Holy Spirit and giving them a blessing. As Luke starts out this sequel, he said all of this was what Jesus began to do and to teach. But as we look around, we do not see Jesus among us. His physical presence has left the world. So how is the gospel only the beginning of what Jesus would do and teach? As the book of Acts continues to unfold, we see that the sequel is about the church, the body of Christ. We recognize the characters from the first book. We see Peter and James and the rest. And at the same time, the sequel introduces to us new characters and new plot lines. We encounter Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles. He is first introduced as an opponent of the church, who was named Saul, until one day he encountered the risen and ascended Lord in all his glory. Saul was blinded by it. But in that moment, he was also transformed from a dead unbeliever to a believer alive in Christ. And he was given the new name, Paul. Yet this story of the early church is not just a story. It is history. The book is not yet complete. The book of Acts continues far beyond Luke's writing. While the gospel of Jesus is complete, the story of his church still unfolds even in this place. Just a few Sundays ago, we heard Jesus declare that he is the vine and that we are his branches. Though it is impossible for branches to produce fruit and even to remain alive apart from the vine, the glory of the vine is in its branches and its fruit. The gospel was all that Jesus began to do and to teach. For he does continue to do and to teach even to this day. Yes, while it is true that Jesus ascended into heaven and we no longer see him with the eye, we know by faith that he has truly not left us. He has not forsaken or abandoned us, but he gave his disciples the promise of his Spirit to be his witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. They were to preach his word and to offer his forgiveness in his name to all who would believe, and they were to do the works of his mercy. And Christ promised that even though he would bodily leave them, he would remain with them in a new way, that his Spirit would come to them once he ascended, and that his Spirit would dwell within them. His Spirit would work through them as they preach his word and as they teach and as they offer his sacraments, creating faith and giving life. If Christ had not ascended, then the Spirit would not have come. But since the Spirit came, he now comes to you and to me whenever and wherever we are. It is in this way that the sequel continues. Jesus would soon leave his disciples visibly, but he'd make sure that his work on earth would continue. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." We all know now what Jesus meant. The second chapter of Acts tells us of the day of Pentecost, the day we will celebrate next Sunday. The disciples would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd be given power to proclaim Jesus' name, everything that he did and taught in that first book of the gospel. Boldly and in every language, even to the ends of the earth. Where the Holy Spirit is at work, the story of Jesus continues. The same story continues even with us. We've been baptized into the Holy Spirit too. In the same act of baptism with water and the word, many of us were infants. But baptism is not an isolated event in our personal or ancient histories. It is not our scrapbooks or for our photo albums. Our baptisms are continually writing the stories of our lives. And the Holy Spirit is living in us, keeping us in the faith of Christ and continually sharing with us his forgiveness and enabling us to do his good works. And by the Holy Spirit's power, we continue Jesus' work and teach his teachings as we proclaim the gospel to the world. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you see that? Our text, the ascension, is the ending of Jesus' earthly ministry, but is not the ending of it all. In the sequel of the story, the gospel is being spread, and it is going to spread just as Jesus says. The book of Acts will tell us first about the gospel going out from Jerusalem, and then we'll read about it going out to Samaria and beyond. And by the end of Acts, it will reach the first century world, what they seem to be the ends of the earth. The disciples will continue Jesus' story by being his witnesses. And not only the disciples in Scripture, but you and me as well. For when you were baptized and that Spirit came to rest and dwell within you, you also became his witness. This is how the book of Acts continues here in this place. Without you being his witnesses, without the church here in Humboldt, the community of faith would wither up and die, just as branches severed from the vine. Therefore, we cannot keep our faith hidden and secret. We cannot keep our Bibles and catechisms dusty on the shelves. For we must be in them as the Spirit opens up our minds to the Scriptures, teaching us about Christ's own death and resurrection and ascension before the Father in heaven. And then it is up to us, as his witnesses, to go out into the community and proclaim the salvation in his name. Then we carry on that story. We carry on that story to the ends of the earth, to our own children and families, to our friends, to our co-workers and our neighbors. And as his witnesses, we never stop telling of the name of Jesus, of his incarnation, of his ministry, of his sufferings and death, of his burial and ascension, where he now stands as the King of all kings, reigning over all creation. Now that may seem like a tall order, but Jesus continues to be with us through all the sequel. And when Jesus had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. The disciples saw Jesus leave, but he really was going away in order to be with them. At the ascension, Jesus took his seat at the right hand of God in power. But that's not a distant place. That is not somewhere far off. In fact, it's not really a place at all. It means that Christ is constantly exercising God's power on our behalf. It means he's now everywhere. He is always with us, even to the end of the age. And not just in his divine nature, but in his human nature too. Jesus, true God and true man, is right here with us. But since he's at the right hand of God in power, exercising God's power for our sake, he is also praying for us, guiding us, protecting us. He is bringing us safely to that last day as Jesus continues to write the story of our lives. Luke's sequel has continued far beyond the completion of his work. In fact, the sequel will continue until the end of time. But it's interesting, because the Greek forms that Luke used in verse 1 of our text suggests that there is a third book to come. Some of the best stories, after all, are written in trilogies, aren't they? Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, just to name a couple examples. We don't have a third book written by Luke, however. But we might imagine a book that will complete the story of Jesus forever. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, and he will come in the same way as you saw him go." The final installment of Christ's story is yet to come, When the same Jesus returns in power and glory in the same way that we saw him go, Christ has ascended into heaven to bring to completion the sequel and the final installment of it all, the promise of his return. He is now preparing as he makes all things new, but in that final installment, it will begin when he returns and he makes a new heaven and a new earth that will last for all eternity, without sickness, without sorrow, without pain, without suffering. And we too will be part of that third and final installment and be with Christ forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.